1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel 4. First Samuel chapter 4. We are thankful again to be here tonight, and I do ask you to pray for me as I bring the lesson that God has put on my heart. There's been a burden on my heart all day, just the thought of being powerless. You know, whenever Jesus gave the commission to the church, he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore." We are the body of Christ, and through Christ we have power. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. But he also taught a lesson about a vine. He said, "You know, I'm the vine, you're the branches." And he gets across the lesson there that if we're not abiding in him, really we're powerless. We, you know, like a withered branch. And throughout Scripture you find thoughts of men that were not being led of the Spirit, and they didn't have any power whatsoever. He mentions to the church of Philadelphia, he said, "You have a little strength left." So they didn't have as much strength as they could have had, but they wasn't completely powerless. And then you get on down to the Laodicean church, and they completely blind and naked, really just don't have any power whatsoever. In fact, Jesus is on the outside knocking to get in. And of course, we would identify ourselves as being that Laodicean church age. And so I want to deal with that thought of being powerless tonight. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 4, by the time we pick up reading in chapter 4, Israel has just gotten in sad, sad shape. The priest, Eli especially, I believe that's where kind of everything that was going wrong, it kind of stopped at him. He was the main guy there, Eli. But he had turned a blind eye to his sons. His sons, the Bible describes him as being men, sons of Belial. And they were holding office in the service of God. Didn't have any business there. Corrupt, just without being too plain. They were openly laying with women at the gate of the tabernacle. And they were stealing portions of the sacrifices that were being brought in, and, you know, just taking their portion before it was even cooked down. And it caused the people to despise the service of God. So you've got really Eli, who's turning a blind eye to everything. You've got the priest under him, his sons. They're just very corrupt. And because of that, the people of God have just gotten in real bad shape. They soured toward the worship service. They soured toward trying to bring a sacrifice and offer it. And so by the end of the chapter, Eli and his sons are dead. And Eli's daughter-in-law gives a distressed birth in the midst of battle. She gives a distressed birth to a son, and she names him Ichabod. And the reason she named him that, and I tell you, if you had to have a name, that's one you probably wouldn't want, because this is the reason, Brother Mike, she said, because the glory is departed from Israel. God's not with us anymore. The glory of God has departed from Israel. And so I want you to get the reasoning for the name. Now, Ichabod, because what she saw was, we are absolutely powerless. The power of God is not with us anymore. She knew God had removed the hedge around them and just allowed the enemy to come in and take. In fact, the enemy comes in and they captured the very ark of God. And they took the ark off and they put it in the house of their god Dagon over in Ashdod. So 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel, and when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it come among us, it may save us. And notice it, they didn't say God may save us. They said it may save us out of the hands of our enemies. So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, was there with the Ark. So there's those two corrupt men with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the Ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is come into the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us! Who shall deliver us out of the hands of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourself like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the Ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. So we'll just stop reading here. That's enough to get the lesson across tonight. Israel begins to suffer loss. In the very beginning, they suffer loss. 4,000 men lose their lives. And they say, why has God allowed this? Why would God let this evil befall upon us? Why did he do this? I tell you what we need to do. We need to go get the Ark of God and let's bring it in. Let us fetch the Ark. I want to ask you this question. Why was it missing to start with? Why wasn't it there on the battlefield with them? But now they realize we've messed up. We didn't bring the Ark with us. Let us fetch the Ark. And they bring the Ark. And they say the Ark will save us. I believe they almost looked at this like a good luck charm. They didn't even mention God. They said, just go get the Ark. The Ark will save us. And I know the Ark represents the power of God, but I believe they almost look at this like a good luck charm. I think you see that in humanity. A lot of times people get symbols and they just, you know, start worshiping symbols instead of worshiping the one behind the symbol. We need to be careful with that. You know, we mentioned the cross, and certainly the cross is to be respected, and, you know, we understand, but you, at the same time, it was the one on the cross, and it wasn't the cross that delivered. And so we get that straight in our mind, and I believe that's what they needed to do here. They need to get something straight in their mind, but nevertheless, you still got all this wickedness that's going on. And so I want you to get the picture. The Ark shows up. And the people shout so loud, the Bible said, the earth rang out. I don't know how loud it'd have to be for the earth to ring, but that's what Scripture says. The earth rang out, and so much the Philistines, now, they hear that. And they know the reputation of God. Now, they know who their God is, Dagon. An idol god, but they also know who the God of Israel is. And so whenever they heard this shout, they said, their God is now in the camp with them. All of a sudden their whole demeanor changed. They get upset about this. Their God is in the camp with them. And so reputation alone scares these men. Man, we're in trouble now. Who's going to save us? Their God is here. That's the God that delivered them out of Egypt with all those plagues. That's the God that defeated Egypt. That's who we're dealing with now. And so they had to be reminded, quit yourselves as men. And I believe before that, they was ready to wave the white flag. We just surrender. The But then they got thinking, well, if we do now, we're going to be servants to them like they've been to us. So let's be strong. So Brother Mike, I want us to get this because it's very important. They waxed bold and defeated Israel in spite of the reputation. The question I have for us is this. Did God let his people down? No, if you read on, they took the ark of God. So, well, how could God allow that to happen? Look at what takes place next. God's people had gotten into a sad state that they were doing things without repentance. And even the priest and the Eli's sons, who were also priests, just wickedness going on, even in the service of God, and they just expect, well, you know, God will be with us because that's who God is. And so they're taking a lot of things for granted. And whenever Philistines take the Ark of God, the Ark of God stood alone by itself, powerful. In fact, if you go on and read, they took the Ark of God and they went and parked that wagon there by their god, Dagon, and Dagon fell over. So they walked back in. How'd you like to have to go stand your god back up? They stood him back up and walked out, and they come back in the next time, he fell over and broke off into a stump. Talk about sad whenever your god can break you in half. So the Ark of God didn't have any problems all by itself. God didn't let his people down. His people let God down. Now, tonight, the thought that I want to try to get across is this. God's people made a lot of noise, but they had no power. They made a lot of noise. The Bible said they shouted so loud that the earth rang out. They were excited. They were emotional. And for just a moment, it got the enemy upset. But I tell you what, they needed a clean up on aisle 7, didn't they? But they had some things they needed to clean up. God will not work in a filthy house. It just won't. Sin was in the camp, and he was not going to deliver until sin was removed from the camp. It's a sad day when all God's people can do, when all they can do is just make a noise and yet be completely powerless. It's a pretty scary thought. Just to be completely powerless. Now, you would think that the loss of 4,000 men, they go out on the battlefield, they meet up with the Philistines on the battlefield, and they get whipped. 4,000 men are killed, and they return and say, why did God allow this? We're going to have to do something different. No repentance. You don't see where they fell down on their face before God and begged God for deliverance. You don't even see where they went to the Lord. All you say is, well, we've got to do something. Let's go get the Ark of God. That ought to fix everything. They carried on as if everything was fine and dandy. And finally, God let the ark be captured to show them their own sad condition. Tonight, I wonder if we have stopped long enough to see the loss we've had. I wonder if we've stopped long enough to consider, God, am I where I need to be with you? Am I close to you like I once was? God, am I walking in the Spirit? Or am I living a carnal life? I wonder if we've stopped and searched our own heart and then repented accordingly. Or if maybe, just maybe, things come along, God try to get our attention, and we just move on past it, act like nothing really happened. Okay, we need to You know, maybe need to try a few things different and just keep right on going. Be sad to try to go on with the work of God and not have any power with it. You think about the early church. Jesus is resurrected and he goes back and he walks his church out to the edge of town and he tells them, he said, you go and you wait until the Holy Spirit comes. There's a little time there when Jesus left and the Holy Spirit had not come and at least Pentecost had not happened. And they were just there and the Lord said, don't do anything. Just go and wait. Because we're just human. We don't have any power except it be through Christ. Now, turn with me to 2 Chronicles, if you will. There's something I want to read over here. A little bit of reading for us to do. But 2 Chronicles, chapter 15. Verse 1. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season... And this is very sad here, and I want you to catch this. Now, for a long season, Israel had been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they, in their trouble, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city. For God, get this now, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words, and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa, and they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Now, tonight, I don't want to mix up two thoughts. First, if you are a child of God, nothing can separate you from the love of God. I don't want you to think I'm trying to get across that we are children of God and there's nothing we will ever do to cause God to disown his children. He will always be with his children. And yet, when we are out of fellowship with him, when we have our priorities out of order, when we fail to seek him and worship him in spirit and truth, we can become powerless in his work. We can get to a point like that branch that is just cast off. It's not abiding in the Lord, and so there's nothing there to feed us. There's nothing there. There's no power there. God will not work in a filthy house. He just won't. He's not going to use a dishonorable vessel. He said there's some to honor and some to dishonor in a great house. There are times when God's people lean upon the gods of this world. When you go look at the Laodicean church, the Bible says there that they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. But they didn't realize just how blind they were, how naked they were, how wretched they were. They didn't realize these things. They had a lot of things that the world could afford them, but they were very poor toward God. They were poor. Poor toward God. And He's not going to use that dishonorable vessel. There are times when God's people, again, lean upon their own gods. And the result of that is trouble. No peace. Look at what went on here. They had trouble. They had no peace. They had vexation of all inhabitants of the country. You had nations rising up against nations. Cities going and destroying other cities. And adversity from God Himself. And so Asa comes along. Thank God for a good man like Asa, a leader that would come along and say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get rid of all this junk. We're going to get rid of the idols. We're going to tear down all of that stuff. We're going to get rid of that. And it just so happened whenever he stood up and he led them, the Bible said that the people were there waiting for him. They were waiting. Listen again, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. When they saw he was a man of God, they just fell in line behind him. And if you're going to lead us, we're ready to follow. And they went out and they entered into covenant to seek God with all their hearts. They put away them idols from among them. This is my burden. When we come together, we don't just come together and make some noise without power. If I am the reason for the power outage, you pray for me that God would show me and I could repent quickly. I don't ever, you've heard me say this so many times and others pray it, and I mean it with all my heart. I want to be a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. If I'm the stumbling block, you pray that I can see that quickly and let me get that out of the way. If you brought sin into the house, I want to encourage you to come to Jesus and repentance. Wash in the waters of the Word. Be clean. Remember what David said? It's all about a man got to a place he didn't have any power really with God, did he? And he prayed, God, wash me and I'll be white. I'm filthy right now. I'm dirty. I'm filthy, but you wash me and I'll be white. Purge me with hyssop. Purge me with hyssop. I'll be clean. Right now, I'm filthy. And he goes on, he said, restore to me the joy of my salvation. You ever got there? Not really too joyful to be in the work of God. It's certainly not whenever you have a fellowship with Him. It's not a joyful thing. It can be sweet. You can have joy and understand it. And, you know, if Lord restores the joy of your salvation, it's so sweet. He said, renew a right spirit within me. I mentioned this and I'm going to close. Joshua, God told Joshua, he said, get up off your face. Sin in the camp, but I'm not going to be with you anymore till you get it clean, till you get it out. Got to deal with that. I tell you, God's people still have to deal with sin. We have to look at ourselves honestly. Am I allowing things in my life that should not be there? If I do, it's a hindrance. It's a hindrance to my life. It's a hindrance to my family. It's a hindrance to my church. It's a hindrance everywhere I go. And there's too many people in the world we live in today that's just compromising. A little bit of God and a little bit of sin trying to mix it. And it's lukewarm. And that makes the Lord sick. Spew you out of His mouth. Proverbs 25 verse 4 says, take away the dross from the silver, and they'll come forth a vessel that is fit for the fire. Got to clean that silver up. Got to get the junk off of it. Got to clean it up. Whenever we do that, then we can come in demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit. I want to see souls saved.
want to see these young ones growing up. Lord, deal with their heart immediately. They get saved. Not to dwell with it. You know, go on and on and on and struggle.
And I believe whenever they see good Christian examples, I believe that is powerful. I know I look back in my life and it's certainly done me a world of good to look around and see true Christian people that did not just talk the talk. They walked the walk. Wasn't just making a bunch of noise. They had power with God. It makes a difference. You think back to the one that's been a blessing in your life. Those true Christian people that were blessed in your life, and you see, did they not have great power of God? That's what we need. We need to be powerful. It's, of course, all power in heaven and earth given to Jesus. So it's not Christ that we're waiting on. We have to be willing to open ourselves up and let the Lord examine us. He says, search me, O God. Know my thoughts. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. That's what we need. Will you allow the Lord to look at you real closely, examine you, and then show you? And when He shows you, be willing to repent, whatever it is. And I don't know, may not be anybody in the house need to. But if you do, be willing to ask for something.